It is always a good day to be in L.A. Today, it is a great day to be in L.A. for all of those reasons. Mostly probably at the top of the list is that playoff Sliwa is in the house.
Only Chris Morales. Only Morales figures out ways to make that happen.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, let's just cut right to it, Alan. Let's get right to it. The Lakers are one game away from their 17th championship. And here's what's crazy. Usually when you get this close, you go into this mode of let's not jinx it. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we stay focused. Let's make sure that this doesn't happen or that doesn't happen. But the fact of the matter is, this thing is over. We said it after game one. I even said it after the game three loss. This is over. They got to get the one more game. They got to win. They got to go through the motions of doing it. But I still have not seen anything that leads me to believe the Lakers are in any way, shape, or form in danger of losing this series. Number 17 could be here as soon as Friday night.
Travis, as you know, on Monday, I was very calm, cool, and collective.
Right.
I felt like the Lakers were in a great position. And you took the other side of it.
You're right.
Well, I don't want to. I think with this Lakers team, this is the fourth time in this playoff run where they were in a spot up 2-1. And that game four was going to determine whether we have a series or the Lakers take complete control. Yesterday was a back and forth game. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Lakers have had these in their championship runs. Uh-huh. Every team has anytime you go win an NBA championship. There's that one game that you look back and say, oh, man, how close was that? Maybe if you want to look back at the Denver series, it's AD's buzzer beater.
Yep.
Or it's even game four against the Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Lakers were in a position. They were up 2-1 against the Blazers, up 2-1 against the Rockets. Big-time championship teams find ways to grind it out. It was ugly. It wasn't exactly the perfect style, but it puts them up 3-1. And like you said, Friday, a chance to go get number 17.
Yeah, Friday night could be a lot of fun because there could be a Dodger game. There might not be a Dodger game.
That's
by
right.
Then.
They
the
might
Dodgers
be done by
could
Thursday.
Close it out by Thursday night, mm-hmm. but we'll see how that goes. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dave McMenamin will join us at 10 o'clock, so make sure that you're around for that. I got a confession to make to
what do you got?
What you just talked about right there about how that game got close. Remember when we were doing this on Monday?
Yeah.
And I said, look, even if the Lakers lose game two or game four and it's 2-2, I'm not going to be all that concerned. When this game never really got beyond, 6 or 8 points at any point, because the Lakers kept pushing and kept hitting shots, kept getting defensive stops, kept doing all these things. But they couldn't pull away. Mm-hmm. They could not pull away.
You were
away.
Never comfortable all game last night.
All game. Until AD hit that three. At that point, you went, oh, mm-hmm. okay, got it. But up until then, not. Had we come in here and that loss, I would have changed my tune because of the way that the game went. But then you start looking at it. They got performances from KCP. They got some big shots from Rondo. That layup where you could tell Adebayo was waiting for him to dish, just boop, little left hand, drops it right in there. I did have a moment where I was a little bit worried just because of the tenacity of the Miami Heat. But the fact of the matter is, Alan, the Lakers have the same amount of tenacity. It's not that the Heat are this scrappy guys that are just tougher than the Lakers and they're making them work for it and the Lakers are just so much more talented and they're just better. It's that the Lakers are more talented and better, but they're just as tough.
You know what's weird? Typically when I'm watching a game, I'm obviously listening in the studio and John and Michael are calling the game. I usually have this, you know, it's natural to just be nervous in there, especially in a finals game, especially when the game was that close. For some reason yesterday, the entire time, I'm thinking in my head, I just think the Lakers are going to figure out a way to get this big-time win in a critical stage of the NBA Finals. Miami's hitting shots. Duncan Robinson banked a three at the end of a shot clock.
Right.
Tyler Hero hit a couple shots.
That runner he hit on the right side was crazy.
Has one again over Anthony Davis. They were hitting shots that I thought Lakers were playing fantastic defense. You just mentioned KCP,
mm-hmm.
And we'll go through some of the Lakers role players. But defensively for the Lakers, they were so locked in, you thought they were going to get the stops they needed to win the game. You know what's crazy, Trav?
Mm.
It was 93-91. I want to say that was a score. Maybe I'm off. But Lakers had a 2-point lead. Jimmy Butler has the ball going the opposite way. Miami actually has a chance to either take the lead or tie the game. Jimmy Butler, I think, misses. That's when LeBron brings it up, throws it to KCP in the corner. How about KCP for a quick second? How fearless was he to just take that shot, to say, we're only up 2 in game 4 of the NBA Finals, and with zero hesitation steps up and hits a three. And then, of course, the next possession, shot clock running out, pump fakes on a three, gets to the basket. KCP had 5 points. KCP will never be forgotten after last night's two buckets that could very well have swung this series and helped the Lakers win a championship.
You and I have only been doing shows together for a relatively short period of time.
14 years.
You'll hear me say this countless times, even if we just do it. You've already heard me say it a million times. Fear, or lack thereof, mm-hmm. is incredibly important mm-hmm. in athletics. Let's just compare two guys, two complementary players, okay? And one guy is a much better player than the other, but the big variable here is fear. One guy, you just described, KCP, when the game is hanging in the balance, lets go a jump shot, doesn't give it a second thought, bottom, makes it, KCP. The other guy, who dubbed himself, red flag alert, when you give yourself a nickname, always a bad look, playoff P,
sure.
uncorks one off the side of the backboard, okay, after looking desperately to get the ball out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. One guy is scared of that. Paul George is a far better player than KCP. He is. By any reasonable metric, if you could say, who do you want? Give me Paul George. In a moment where it is all right there, give me KCP. Because that shot was filled with pressure. If he misses that shot, what are we talking about? Dude, KCP can't take that shot. Mm-hmm. You got to get that ball
Why
to LeBron,
is LeBron
James.
Passing?
You got to get that ball to Anthony Davis. Sure. You can't let KCP. And he took it and he made it. The same way, whether it's Steve Kerr or Paxson or any of these guys that have hit big shots on championship teams that aren't the dude, BJ mm-hmm. Armstrong, mm-hmm. you're going to need somebody to take that shot and make that shot. And KCP did it last night.
And listen, you got to have help. You know, yesterday, Michael and I were, I was trying to figure out from Michael Thompson, where do you put Jimmy Butler in this ranking of other NBA players? And I came to James Harden, and we're comparing Jimmy Butler and James Harden. And the one reason why Michael Thompson chose Jimmy Butler over James Harden, he said in big-time moments in the postseason, James Harden just does not – you've seen enough of it in the playoffs where he's not coming through in that big-time situation that you're referring to. But role players, look back at Laker championships. I mean, I know – and I'm not going to put KCP ever in the level of Derek Fisher.
You didn't say Derek Fisher. I was going to say it for you.
But D. Fish hit shots that we'll never forget. Right. Sasha Vujacic hit two free throws that we'll never forget. I mean, there are moments. Robert Horry, and he's got a laundry list of those.
Yep.
Meta hitting not just the three against Boston, a buzzer beater off Kobe's miss against the Phoenix Suns. There are certain moments in Lakers history where role players have to come through. Not just KCP last night, other role players came through for the Lakers as well.
All right, be a part of the show on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Let's go to the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed right here. This is from David Rodriguez. Trav, what do we do as fans to show our Lakers how much this championship means to us? Friday, I'll be jumping and running around my house after they win. So much joy for Lakers Nation. That is a very good question. How will you celebrate the Lakers' 17th championship? Let us know. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. We'll take more of your phone calls. Plus, once LeBron gets number 4, once the Lakers get number 17, once he has the confetti falling on him in a Lakers uniform, what does that mean for LeBron's legacy? That is coming up next on a Lakers Finals Reaction Wednesday.
Get in here, Laker fans. Come on now. 877-710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I had the task of guarding Jimmy Butler, and so I just tried to just be locked into him. I mean, we know that the last game, he kind of just took over, imposed his will on the game on both ends of the floor, and we just tried to give him a different look. Tried to make him shoot over a contested hand, you know, finish over, you know, length at the rim, just make it tough for him. You know, it was very easy for him game three, and, you know, we just wanted to switch it up.
It's Anthony Davis talking about guarding Jimmy Butler in game four last night. How about this, Alan? It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is Eddie Van Halen the greatest rock guitarist of all time?
I'll say yes, but you would know much better than I would.
He's certainly on the short list, for sure. RIP to Eddie Van Halen. You heard it right there underneath Anthony Davis's comments right there. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. That's what you needed to do to Jimmy Butler, is just make him work like crazy to get – he was good last night. I mean, he wasn't what he was in game three, but you look at his numbers, he had 22 points, he had 10 rebounds, 9 assists. He just missed another triple-double, but it was just brutal for him to get what he got because he had to do it against Anthony Davis, a big part of the
time. Travis, we were talking about after game three, and I spent a lot of time on this. I'm like, look, I'm not telling you that Jimmy Butler's not a good player. He's not Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Magic Johnson combined, and that's right. What they made him look like in game three. The big adjustment that the Lakers had, and this was probably one of my favorite pieces in last night's game and definitely in the postgame show, I loved what AD said right there. Anthony Davis pretty much telling LeBron James, look, you make things happen on the offensive side. Let me handle Jimmy Butler. Let me be the foundation on the defensive side. You know, so many times we talk about LeBron James being the best player in the world. Well, I'll make the argument, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, Anthony Davis is the best defensive player in the world. There aren't too many guys that can do what AD did. And all you wanted him to do yesterday against Jimmy Butler shot below 50% from the field yesterday, only got to the free throw line 7 times, and you made Jimmy Butler's life just a little bit more difficult. He did whatever he wanted in game three. If he was going to score against the Lakers yesterday, it was going to be on AD, LeBron, or Markieff Morris, three guys that are same size with him, no bully ball.
Yeah, LeBron took him for a period of time. Markieff Morris is an interesting guy. He's done a lot of really important things in the series. We don't spend a ton of time talking about him, but when you talk about the history of this championship, and yes, I'm talking about it like it's already happened because it basically has, he's going to be an important part because not only has he done this, he was a very late addition to this team. He has not been through this whole season with him. Without him, they would be in a different spot, maybe.
Okay, so go back to the buyout market. You go back to the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. The Clippers went out and traded for Marcus Morris. I think they traded for him to make sure that the Lakers don't get him.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Knicks and that deal that all went down, Rob Pelinka, front office, understood that the Lakers have pretty much everything, but what Markieff Morris has done for the Lakers... Don't forget this too, Trav. Against the Houston Rockets, he played big-time minutes for the Lakers. He gave them another dimension that they didn't have. Yesterday, he started in the second half, if you remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Dwight didn't come out for the start.
It gives the Lakers all these different options so that whatever you throw at them, there's an answer. I do agree with you. Markieff was that addition was a key addition, but that goes back to the front office and Pelinka bringing him in.
Huge value. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Let's go to the phones. Let's hear what you have planned for your Lakers celebration. Like, I'm going to start somewhere other than Arcadia, my hometown. Anthony in Arcadia, you're up first. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Trav and Alex? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for the call. So I just want to talk about how the first half, how LeBron and AD weren't really getting it going. AD was being a pest on Jimmy Butler the whole game. In the second half, LeBron just came and set the whole tempo offensively because AD wasn't really looking for a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed defensively, AD just took the role in taking Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler had 11 in the first quarter, I believe. And the second half, I think he had 11 points the whole second half as AD took on the challenge to guard him after a big historic game, which, like how you said, Alex, Jimmy Butler's not going to do. He's not LeBron. He's not Jordan. He's not Kobe. He's going to get one of those games because they're desperate, but he's not going to do that every time.
Well, they locked in on him too, Trav. Anthony, I appreciate you calling in. You know, I want to say one thing about Anthony Davis because it's not like when you were watching Anthony Davis last night, listening on 710, it's not like you didn't have some frustrations on AD. I mean, John and Michael kept saying and repeated this, AD, get down in the block. Do something.
He didn't shoot a free throw until really late in the third quarter.
So offensively, you just kept looking at Anthony Davis, and there were plenty of times I'm like, AD, what are you doing? But as the game progressed, I want to say that You started seeing Anthony Davis pretty much saying, look, let me lock down, let me focus on the defensive side, and offense is just going to come. But Anthony Davis ended up with 4 blocks yesterday. Certainly as the game progressed, you saw more of his value. Just find ways to be effective.
Anthony Davis was doing the thing that drives Laker fans crazy for about 3 quarters, which was kind of float around, spend a lot of time on the ground, which has always been a frustration of mine. The guy's so big and strong and powerful. He seems to be on the ground, literally.
Sure.
Way too often. Mm-hmm. That's just something that kind of drives me. But then all of a sudden, you could tell, and you could tell it was almost just through force of will that LeBron just kept giving him, like, go do this. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he did. And that's when it felt like the game really made a turn for the better for the Lakers. Let's try another one here. Let's go to North Hollywood. And Rick, you are on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Hey, Travis. Thank you for accepting my call this morning. It's my first time calling to your radio.
Welcome.
Just calling to let you guys know that Friday I will be calling out from work to watch the game because I have Saturday and Sunday off. So I get a
Wait a minute.
Week.
Wait a minute. Rick, the game doesn't start till 6. You can still go to
work.
Do you
have a night shift, Rick?
I work in North Hollywood. I work from 10 to 7. You think I'm going to miss that game?
Good for you, Rick. Way to go.
I'd rather come out and get paid for my 6 sick days that I have that just accumulated as of last month.
We need more guys like Rick, Travis. Yeah. We need guys that are focused on game day. Enough of this whole work stuff.
Look, this probably isn't funny considering the climate we live in with a pandemic, but I have a feeling that a bunch of people are going to call in sick on Friday in this city, right? A lot of people are going to be using those sick days.
My favorite thing is when somebody says, the game's not till 6, and they need to take all Friday off.
Hey.
And then they got Saturday and Sunday off, too. Now, that's a commitment right there.
You got a pregame. You got to get in the right frame of mind. You got to make sure that you're ready to go. All right. Thanks for that one, Rick. Let's try another Anthony. This stop in Long Beach. Anthony, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Top of the morning, fellas. How you guys doing?
Good morning, man. Thank you.
Man, as being a Long Beach and L.A. native, am I the only one that's sad about not having a parade once we win this championship? Like, how are we going to do this? Like, nobody's talked about that. Is there going to be a parade? Is it going to be one big Zoom meeting? Like, I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, Rick, Anthony, I got to tell you. You bring up such a good point, and it's crossed my mind a few times, and I force myself to just put it out of my thought process, mm-hmm. because you're right. It is going to be so weird to not have that parade. Yeah. It's going to be so weird to be sitting here in this studio,
sure.
and look across the street and not just see a crush of humanity celebrating and having a good time. It is going to be weird. I don't know if it's a giant Zoom meeting. I don't know if we, you know, air high five our neighbors across the street or whatever it is. It's going to be weird, but what it's going to be more than all of those things, Anthony, it's going to be a championship. It's going to feel great. It's going to feel different, mm-hmm. but it's going to feel great.
So, Trav, I think this is we've obviously never gone through this before. And the fact that the Lakers are playing in Orlando and we haven't been to Staples Center in months and there was a 4-month break, I'll tell you why this is still special and why it's going to get more special down the road. Because one day eventually, we're going to be back at Staples Center and they're going to raise banner number 17, and you're going to see the Buss family led by Jeannie Buss. You're going to see players like LeBron James and Anthony Davis actually receiving their ring. Yes, it's not in the moment that we're accustomed to, but I still think at the end of the day, you're still going to feel it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it will eventually go back to normal, knock on wood. And when that time comes, we could truly appreciate it, but it will be stacking another championship for the Lakers.
You're right. Whether it's the ring ceremony, the banner going up, seeing LeBron James, I can close my eyes and almost see it right now. They win the game on Friday night. You know, maybe it's Sunday. We'll see. Whenever it is. They win this championship, and the confetti comes down.
And they raise KCP over their shoulders.
After they're done with KCP and Caruso on the shoulders, there's going to be a cut to LeBron uh-huh. with confetti coming down mm-hmm. in a Laker uniform. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And I know that Laker fans have a complicated relationship with LeBron James. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. The second I found out that the Lakers were going to get LeBron James a couple of years ago, I was ecstatic. Now,
I just don't agree with it. But
I honestly don't even get it mm-hmm. because LeBron James is not a threat to Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's legacy stands on its own. It is not threatened by anybody else's accomplishments. Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest Lakers, if not the greatest Laker of all time. And it seems to me that a lot of this stuff is born out of, yeah, but Kobe, guys, Kobe's Kobe. He doesn't, there's no qualifiers to that. He's that guy. LeBron James is different than Kobe. They never competed at the same time for a championship. One guy didn't knock the other guy off the block. They never got there at the same time. I've never understood it, but once you see him in that purple and gold jersey with confetti going down, him hugging Anthony Davis in his Laker uniform, all that stuff's got to go away for you guys. It's just, you got to get over whatever it is preventing you from embracing him as a Laker, because he's about to put number 17 up on that wall.
This is what I've always said, and this is just the way I view sports. I care about the name on the front more than the back. And what I'm referring to there is, I loved me some Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. I was as big of a Shaq fan as you could possibly have. When he left and went to Miami, I wasn't rooting for the Miami Heat.
No.
I was still rooting for the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James has brought this franchise back to not just relevance, literally a chance to win another NBA championship, and then we'll see what happens next year in his entire career. Got to just love the fact that he's representing your team and your franchise, obviously one more way.
If he gets number four in a Laker uniform, what does that mean for LeBron's legacy? That's next on a Lakers Final Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're so comfortable with who we are and how we play that's what we're going to go out there and do. And we're going to live with the end result. Obviously, we want it to be a win. We just got to lock in on us, knowing that we can control a lot of these things. But our confidence ain't going nowhere. It's going to stay high. I'm going to make sure that it stays high because it's going to have to be at an all-time high to get this next win.
That's Jimmy Butler after last night's game, and that's all fine and dandy, but they're going to lose. And the Lakers are going to throw a party, and Jimmy Butler's going to have to stand there and watch LeBron James get covered in confetti.
Yeah, and listen, and Miami was never supposed to win this series, you know, so what they've accomplished so far, you know, Trav, when this series eventually ends, and I don't want to get too caught up in front because I know what we're saying right now. How are you going to celebrate? What's it going to feel like? Well, you got a two-game cushion. You only need one more game, so I know what you're referencing to, but here's the reality with Miami. Hats off to them. They're playing some tough basketball, but at the end of the day, Lakers just got too many weapons, and the two best players in this series, as good as Jimmy Butler has been, you'll take Anthony Davis or LeBron James over Jimmy Butler any day of the week. They continue to fight. Still expect Lakers to close it out on Friday.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You heard Chris right there talking about the Dodger game tonight. The Dodgers won that series last night, too. I'm on a roll. I'm predicting series victories after one night.
That's it.
Dodgers did it. When the Padres had to run out nine guys in game one mm-hmm. of a short five-game series, and it's not your typical play two, get a day off, play two more, get one more day off. You know, play five days in a row. Mm-hmm. They're going to burn through all of their guys. Dodgers use five guys of their own, but they've also got Clayton Kershaw waiting to go in game two, and you know he's going to go five, six innings and eat up a bunch of time. Dodgers are in a great spot.
They're in a great spot, and they, you know, will fully take advantage of the fact that the Padres, obviously, two starting pitchers. Clevinger pitched what? One inning?
One and change, right?
They're in a position where the Padres go through nine pitchers just to get through game one.
And lost.
Obviously, Lamet is not a part of the mix in this one as well. You have Clayton Kershaw coming in game two, where you and I talked about it off air. If there's ever a position that you want Kershaw, you're up one game to nothing.
Yep.
There isn't a ton of pressure on Clayton Kershaw or even the Dodgers. Dodgers, even if if you want to make some comparisons to the Lakers and the Heat, even if the Heat were 100% healthy, Lakers are the favorites. Even if the Padres were 100% healthy, the Dodgers are the favorites. But there are some things falling in line, obviously, in Dodgers' favor.
No question about it. All right, 877-710-ESPN. That's the phone number if you want to participate. 877-710-3776. Let's try West Covina this time. And Byron, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's going on?
Hello, and thank you all for just taking my call. I love you guys. And let me get to the point. I had a fruition dream before this whole bubble thing happened with the Lakers and LeBron, confetti coming down and saying, "This is for you, Kobe," holding up the trophy. Hmm. That's okay. And I'm going to make this quick. And then I was kind of like a little offended when Scottie Pippen made a statement saying, "Oh, this is have an asterisk, or this is a weak championship if the Lakers do win." I think this is the hardest championship probably ever of time, because you have to will yourself to even do this, because you don't have fans. You have to will. It has to be the inner soul that you have in you to give the competition that you need to have to put this out there.
Wow.
You know, and go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Byron, and, you know, there has been a lot of that conversation, and, you know, this has been going on now for the last couple of months. Everybody was questioning. This is where I could understand the, this one has an asterisk. Let's just say the bubble, we had issues in the bubble, and big-time players missed a week because they had to quarantine, and that was the difference of the Bucks making it to the finals.
Yeah, Giannis doesn't play for 2 weeks and they get knocked
okay,
out.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
That has not been the case. And if there's anybody that actually was hurt by being in this position, Miami was a number 5 seed, which means they technically would not have had home court
at
the
all.
Entire postseason. Lakers with a number 1 seed. They didn't get the privilege of what they earned at Staples Center through the first round all the way till the end. So I say that because Meta World Peace sent out a tweet yesterday. He said, "The NBA Finals is absolutely, this NBA Finals is absolutely the toughest finals in the history of any sport. Mentally draining being in the bubble and physically taking a toll. This really is one of the greatest finals I've ever seen." And that's somebody who did it and got the privilege of home court and everything else. I'm with Byron on this one.
All right. And this word I'm going to say, this is for the mama. I'm out.
Thanks, Byron. Look, I think it's important to say this. There is no such thing as a cheap championship. It doesn't exist. I hear what you're saying, that this particular season may have been weird had we missed a bunch of... Look, let's just use a really current example. Let's say Cam Newton gets really sick, and I'm knocking on wood hoping that doesn't happen. But let's say Cam Newton misses half the year. But every game that Cam Newton does play, they win. But because he was gone for half the year, they're out. Then there's that weird, this was going on. The situation that you laid out in Orlando in the bubble would be a good example. But that's not what happened. There was a pause. There's no home court advantage. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on. But if you win the championship, that banner's going to be the same size as the other ones. Those rings are going to be just as glistening and shiny and awesome as all the other ones. We're not even going to remember anything other than, oh, yeah, wasn't that the one that was in the bubble 5 years from now? Because think about when the San Antonio Spurs beat the Knicks in the final. That was like a 50-game season. We don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. If the Dodgers win the World Series this year, do you think that 5 years after, you know what, that one was in Dallas and it was weird and it was played in kind of a neutral site? Or are you going to remember, you know what, remember when the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series? There's no such thing as a cheap championship. If they hold a tournament and you win it, you're the damn champs, period.
And NBA especially, because you pretty much played your entire season. There was a lot more that was drawn out from this Lakers season, or at least from the NBA side. And Trav, we said this last time. We had a call come in on Monday and said, you know, now we're going to hear all the excuses about the injuries because Goran Dragic is out and Bam Adebayo is out. And if you remember, I said, who cares? It happens. This is part of sports. I take nothing away from, and I said this from the beginning as well, if whether it was the Lakers or was another team, I take nothing else away. And there have been plenty of teams that were supposed to beat the Lakers or had good of a chance. I mean, the Clippers were expected to be in the Western Conference Finals. They lost their head coach. So what do you think? You think that the Clippers didn't think this season counted? No,
right.
They definitely thought it counted.
Absolutely. Feel the joy of a sunny day. Find the freedom of an open field and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better
outside. Sounds delicious.
877-710-ESPN. Let's try another one here. Let's go to Ace in Inglewood. Ace, you're on with Sleewin Travis. What's up?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, man. Great win last night, man. Look, Kobe said it the best, man. He said, I'm trying to go quote by quote, but he basically said, you know, the next player that comes here is going to want to be here. It's not going to be scared of the lights, not going to be scared of the moment. We got to credit LeBron James for coming to L.A. because he could have went anywhere, you know, in the NBA. But he decided to come to the Lakers, He wasn't scared of the moment. He wasn't scared of the lights. He wanted to make his own legacy in the purple and gold. And that man deserved it, man. Like, we win this championship. Yeah, we got one more game to go, but LeBron James deserved it, man. And we got to credit that man. Like, yeah, Rob Pelinka and Magic, they put it together, but, you know, LeBron James answered that phone call. And we got to credit him. And don't let these former NBA players and these analysts take this championship away for the Laker fans, man, and everybody, man. We deserve it. We waited 10 years for this, man, and it's finally here, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Have a good one.
Yeah, you got it, Ace. Well said. Look, it's been a long wait by Laker standards. Not by NBA standards, but by
realistic
Laker standards.
Sports standards, yeah. That's nothing, 10 years.
It's not. It's mm-hmm. Think about the Dodgers. 1988 sure. is a lot more in the rearview mirror than 2010. But I truly believe that things happen for a reason, mm-hmm. that you will get the right guy at the right time. LaMarcus Aldridge, they wanted. They didn't get him. They wanted Paul George.
Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard. They went after all these guys, and they couldn't get it done. And you're right. They got LeBron James, but if we're just being perfectly honest and putting it all out there, LeBron James chose the Lakers. The Lakers didn't go and close him. LeBron's going to make the decision. And there was all the criticism of, oh, he just wants to go make movies and TV. He mm-hmm. wants to go to – well, yeah. He also wants to come and win, as he's proven. Has for 1 second anybody looked at LeBron James and felt like he hasn't been fully present for every second of his Laker career?
Oh, what has LeBron done?
It's so dumb
weren't
to
you
me.
Just saying? Weren't you just saying 50 NBA Finals appearances?
54, I want to say
at
now.
At this
55,
point, right?
Yeah.
Over 255 playoff games. Yeah, I'm pretty sure LeBron does want to win. But I like that point from Ace to just basically say appreciate that he chose to come here, and more importantly, Trav, than anything else, he didn't just choose to come here. You're a win away from a championship, and you were talking about this. What does this do to his legacy?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Trav, if they'd have came into the NBA Finals, and they would have to go through the Miami Heat, who was certainly an underdog, and they didn't have to face the Clippers, and I'm just setting it up because that's the stage, right? Milwaukee, they choked. The Clippers, I don't have to tell you what they did. They were up 3-1 and didn't play the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
I feel like
finals.
This is where I need to interject and remind everybody that Paul George hit the side of the backboard. Go ahead, continue.
But with all that being said, you know, if you look at LeBron's legacy, I think if they would have lost this series, yes, I would have remembered that. It would have been, wait a minute, how did the Lakers lose to the Miami Heat? LeBron, you're 3-7 in the NBA Finals. But the fact that if they get this done on Friday or Sunday or whatever the case is, now all of a sudden LeBron's got 4 championships. This late in his career, he came over to the Lakers, got them their 17th championship to tie the Boston Celtics. I think this is a big part of his legacy.
Let me throw this out there, and let's not put any names on it right now. If I told you there was a guy that scored more points than anyone else that's ever played this game, and the same guy was in the top 10 in assists, and the same guy went to the finals at least 10 times, and the same guy won 4 of those 10 trips, and the same guy was the MVP for 3 different organizations in those finals, and was a universally respected great teammate, you're telling me there's somebody that's got a better resume than that? Come on, man. Come on. He's going to score more points than anybody. He's going to catch Kareem. Unless he decides he just doesn't want to play anymore,
sure.
And there's no indication that that's going to happen, mm-hmm. He's going to do that. He's going to be within spitting distance of the rings of Michael Jordan that everybody throws up 6-0. Okay, what about all the times he didn't make it? What about all the times Larry Bird knocked him out? What about all the times that the Pistons knocked him out?
I was going to say, or what about all the times that LeBron made it to the finals and he had no business of being in the finals?
Exactly right. So. Exactly right. It's crazy. Which means he needs to win that MVP in the finals. Is that going to happen? Alan and I will get up to that next. That's on a Lakers Final Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN. But right now, it's time for some straight talk. And you know what a full court press in basketball is, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you unlimited plans with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For me, I mean, at this point in the season, I don't care about rest. I really don't. I don't care about sleep. I don't care about resting throughout the game. And obviously, I come out the game. You know, coach has a rhythm and a rotation that we live by and we go by. But I don't care about resting because I can rest in a week. Max, if it happens to go there, I can rest for a month straight, which I won't do because of who I am. You guys know that. But if I can rest then. I can sleep 8 hours and get up and eat and then go right back to sleep if I want to.
I could listen to him talk all day long. That, of course, is LeBron James after last night's game. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And, you know, of all the accolades that we throw around with LeBron, all of them incredibly well-deserved. The fact that he plays as many minutes as he does mm-hmm. and has for as long as he has and has been so remarkably durable through that is arguably his greatest achievement.
You know, the 250-plus games he's played in the postseason is the equivalent of three additional seasons. So 82 games a year. It's over three additional seasons. So Michael hates when I say in the pregame show, here he is, 17th year in the NBA. He's like, no, this is his 20th mm-hmm. season in the NBA because of all the playoff games that he played.
And he doesn't just play. Mm-hmm. He's got the ball in his hands the entire sure. time. He has to carry all the water every night, mm-hmm. and that's why having Anthony Davis here is so incredibly important, because for the first time since Dwayne Wade, really, there's somebody that can do nearly as much as he can. But LeBron was the guy in Miami. He's still the guy here. He's still the reason that they are where they are, and the weight of that is really hard to explain to somebody. It's very difficult to always be the reason that something works or else.
I was trying to think about this. I was trying to think of another player and athlete. We've been covering LeBron since he was in high school.
Yep.
The hype about LeBron from 18 years ago, 19 years ago. Do you know of another athlete that had the hype and actually over-delivered?
There's one.
And over-delivered.
Yeah, there's one.
Who's that?
Tiger.
Yeah.
Tiger. Tiger's the one guy that was famous mm-hmm. in high school. Tiger won three U.S. amateurs in a row. And I get that amateur golf is not the NBA.
But still,
but
I know what you're saying.
They were saying, ooh, this guy right here, he may mm-hmm. be the guy, and he's been better than the guy. Mm-hmm. Tiger and LeBron are on a plane almost entirely their own. All right, Nick Harvey just hit us up on our Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. And Nick writes, here, answer this one, Alan. I'll let you go first here.
Okay.
Do the Lakers retire LeBron James's number if they win? I'm not saying they retired after the game, but when LeBron, assuming he wins a championship here, and that's a pretty good assumption, mm-hmm. do the Lakers hang number 23 up next to all of those other incredible numbers and names?
So before I answer that, just think about who is retired up there if you're looking at just championships, okay? Mm-hmm. So Wilt Chamberlain has a championship with the Los Angeles Lakers, him and Jerry West got, I think, in 1972,
mm-hmm.
okay? Pau Gasol is going to eventually have a jersey up there in Los Angeles. No question about it. If you get an NBA championship and you're wearing the purple and gold and you had, obviously the foundation to do of how you got that championship, I can just go off of that resume alone and I'm done. But then I could go stack up. It's number 17. LeBron James came to the Lakers. We know what he did in Cleveland and Miami. I don't have a hesitation. The goal is to win an NBA championship. If you win it and you're one of the all-time greats and you did it wearing the purple and gold, I don't have a hesitation. I don't know if you do.
The answer is, of course you do. Mm-hmm. Because give me one reason. There's one small reason that you could throw out there and say, okay, I kind of get it. But it's a small reason. And if you win a championship, if you're an MVP on that championship team and you are the greatest all-time scorer in the history of the league and all of these
things.
And
he's going to play 4 years for the Lakers, so it's not like he did it in 1 year.
That's the one piece, Alan, that I kind of sort of get. If they say, look, yeah, but he was here for 4 years. Kobe was here for 20. Shaq was here for a long time. Kareem, Magic, Jerry West, all of these guys were here for a very long time. But the argument to that is, yeah, well, Will Chamberlain was a lot of different places before he came here. There, Pau Gasol was in Memphis before he came here. Shaquille O'Neal was in Orlando before he came here. There's no...
I don't have a hesitation.
There's, yeah, it just there are so many more reasons to do it than the one very, very small reason to at least make you pump the brakes a little bit. They're going to do it for sure. All right, let's try another phone call here. Let's go to Cameron in Ventura. Cam, you are on a Lakers Finals Reaction Wednesday. What's up, Cam?
Yeah, I just got to say, you know, LeBron's whole career, one of the critics against him was he can't do it in the West. You know, and even when in round one they said Lakers don't want to see the Blazers, he proved them all wrong. And the level of play that he plays at this age is just, it's just phenomenal to watch him. And, you know, and to consider that earlier this year with the COVID and Kobe Bryant passing and we're one win away, LeBron's going to close it in game five and we're all going to celebrate. And, you know, it's going to mean a lot to the Laker fans. And you know what? I don't think it's going to stop here. I think we're going to go for back-to-back in 2021.
Cameron, appreciate you calling in. Trav, you know what's funny about the conversation about LeBron, and you start looking at the, okay, well, he wasn't able to do it in the East, or it was only in the East, he couldn't do it in the West. That's not that different than some of the other greats and the conversations that go with them. Kobe, it was, you can't win without Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Took a few years, then they made it to three straight NBA Finals. Tom Brady, how long have they been saying, Brady, you're done. You're not going to... Your run is over. I've heard Tom Brady is over the hill for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
Okay? And he continues. It's actually a compliment to how great these players are. LeBron James coming to the Western Conference. LeBron came to the Western Conference where it wasn't just he was going to a stacked team. When he went to Miami and it was Dwayne Wade and it was Chris Bosh, that's a different story. LeBron not only came to the West, he came to a Lakers team that was at the bottom.
Yeah.
You're playing with Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram. I mean, you were playing with nothing. So it's not just coming to the Western Conference and competing. He's about to hoist the trophy in the Western Conference.
They do this to
number
all of
one
them.
Seed in the Western Conference.
They do it to almost everybody. I know that maybe there are some people listening to us right now, Alan, that aren't old enough to remember this. There was a rap on Michael Jordan for the longest time. Yeah, he scores a lot of points, but where's the winning in the playoffs?
Sure.
That happened to Michael Jordan, and now, well, Michael never loses. Yeah, he did. He did a lot. He couldn't get past the Celtics. He
couldn't get past
the Pistons. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, once he finally cracked the code of the Eastern Conference, he was almost impossible to beat. The Orlando Magic beat him the year he came out. There was a whole bunch of extenuating circumstances, but he lost in the playoffs too. There's always this rap, and the raps against LeBron James are probably the most illegitimate of all the raps I've heard, and it's personal. I don't know why people have personally decided that they don't like him, because that's what it feels like. I don't like LeBron James, therefore I'm going to try to minimize all the things. I happen to like LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I like the person that LeBron is. I like the stances that LeBron takes. That's me personally. But even if I hated his guts, I'd be a fool to stand up here and say that he's not everything anyone has ever said about him as a basketball player. You're being intellectually dishonest if you are trying to find a reason to say that LeBron James is anything other than one of the two or three greatest to ever do it.
It's not uncommon to not be, you know, it's very often in sports you root for the underdog. So I get it. When he was in Miami, I wasn't rooting for the Heat to win. I was rooting for Dallas. I was rooting for the San Antonio Spurs. But that doesn't mean I don't respect LeBron James. It doesn't mean I don't respect how great he was and how great he is today. And I think that's the one thing that bothers me most when they talk about LBJ. There's this, you know, you almost get emotional about it rather than taking your emotions, putting them to the side and say, just appreciate what you're getting a chance to see every night.
One more very quick tweet here. This one is from Satoshi. He says, I know we need one more win, but the Kobe dedication tour is not complete until we go at least back to back. All right, look, I'm the one that's already planning the parade. I'm the one that's already saying, what kind of champagne are we going to have on Friday night? The back to back, let's enjoy this one. Let's at least let the champagne dry on the floor.
Wait till Saturday.
Before we start figuring out how to go back-to-back. Absolutely. All right. Dave McMenamin is going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on where the Lakers are. Do they close it on Friday night? All that is coming up next with Travis and Sliwa on a Lakers Final Reaction Wednesday on 710 ESPN.